Gee, agus fáil chú go díon clár cuma lúg le an scéal na seachta na seo le mí Tom Cormack with you as usual on a Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. And, well, we've got a history lesson for you tonight on the development of sport, including GAA in Donegal in the latter part of the 19th century. Former Ardra foot doctor Conor Curran, author of The Development of Sport in Donegal, 1880 to 1935, is my special guest.
Conor, what games were played between 1880 and 1935 did you find in Donegal?
The first soccer game I came across was played in 1881 down near Castlefin. And the earliest soccer clubs in Donegal would have been based up in that northeast area. There was teams in Cranford and Kerrykeel by the middle of the 1880s. Now, soccer gets there first in Donegal. Gaelic football doesn't really get established in Donegal until the 1920s, although there are different clubs at various stages. But there's soccer clubs set up in the late 19th century around the county. It's part of the wider sort of sporting revolution in which takes place in Britain and in some areas in Ireland. But really you have examples of the game is brought in from Derry City into areas like Letterkenny and Buncrana in the early 1890s. It's also brought to West Donegal. Keijer Rovers, founded in 1896 by two brothers who came back from Scotland who were working over there as seasonal migrants. And military involvement is also an important part of the dissemination of soccer. In Ballyshannon, 1896, there was a detachment of the Dorset Regiment based there, and they played some matches against the locals there. And the Erin Football Club was founded in Ballyshannon in 1896, and this led to other clubs being founded and so on, and they played against each other there. And you also had teams set up in places like Ardra and Killybegs by just local men who were keen to see sport provided for young workers and young shop apprentices. You had Ardra Emeralds, founded in 1891. You also had Killybegs Emeralds, 1896. And then there was other reasons too. There was just like local men getting together, like in Glenties there was a Strouchter Sons of Farmers team set up in 1893, I think. So there was different reasons why soccer teams were set up. Different men coming together, like, you know, in the local community that had a bit of money and a bit of free time maybe, and wanted to see, you know, get young men off the street and get them playing games and providing sport and athletics for them. So really soccer was the kind of most important sport in Donegal in the late 19th century, and it continued to be that into, I would say, up until the 1920s. You must remember that Gaelic football, there had been some attempts to play it in Inishowen in the late 1880s, but nobody had really, I mean, it wasn't really demonstrated throughout Donegal. Nobody had really seen an exhibition of it. It was a hard game to sort of implement. If you'd been playing soccer all the time, why would you suddenly switch to Gaelic football? But 1905, the Donegal County Board was founded mainly by Seamus McManus, who was an author and was one of the key figures in the Gaelic revival in Donegal. And he wanted an end for he wanted to see an end to soccer in the county, and he saw it as being an English sport. And he questioned the local soccer organisers in the local papers at the time about their decision to play soccer rather than Gaelic football. And he called and he put out a call in the papers for an end to soccer in Donegal at that time, and for them to switch to Gaelic football. Now, it's interesting that the majority of teams that were in Donegal, 1905, there was about 32 soccer teams in Donegal, and there was only two of them, I think, that actually attempted to change Gaelic football. There was one in Donegal Town and one in Mount Charles, and other teams refused to do it, such as Killybegs Emeralds. They had a meeting and they said that they wanted to continue on playing soccer. They felt it was a better game, and I suppose really a lot of people in Donegal just wouldn't ever have seen Gaelic football being played, really, I suppose.
And how come it was so slow, Gaelic football and hurling, I suppose, coming to Donegal? Because the GAA had been founded in 1884.
Yeah, the GAA founded in 1884 in Thurles, but I suppose Donegal was so far removed from the events down the country in places like Thurles, and you have to look at the transport network and the communications network at that time as well. The first real GAA clubs in Donegal, well, the first one was Bord Hibernians, which was set up in 1888 after a visit from St. Patrick's Club from the Waterside in Derry, and they came in there and they played a match using Bord's common rules in the first half, and then the second half they played under the codified rules of hurling that had been drawn up by the GAA in Morristavenen in 1885. And that was the start of the Bord Hurling Club there officially, although of course throughout Donegal and throughout Ireland there had been pre-codified versions of hurling played. But really the GAA in Donegal in the 1880s, in the period from about 1888 to 92, only really existed because you had these clubs in Derry City. And clubs from Donegal, like there was ones in Killee and Portlaoch and Buncrana, and Bord as well, they would go into Derry and play these matches, and they were relatively close to Derry. They could get in and out in the train, and they would go in and play these matches and play in matches, say, on Christmas Day. And a few of them played in the Derry Championship as well. But after the decline of the Derry County Board in 1890, the Donegal clubs just seemed to kind of lose interest, and they didn't. They played more matches against the Derry clubs than they did amongst themselves.
So I think there's a record. Some of the clubs at Buncrana, some of them are Bord, maybe have won Derry championships.
Yeah, I don't think they won any at that stage in the late 19th century, but they probably, Bord would have, and its own teams in general would have had a strong record of competing against, the Derry teams, particularly in hurling, But really, I suppose Inishowen would have been kind of sort of dislocated from, developments further south in Donegal, and in terms of when the GAA County Board was founded in 1919, it was refounded in 1919, it was, it was hard to get the Inishowen clubs on board throughout the 1920s, and a lot of the time they just stuck to playing matches against Derry.
And of course that was pre-border times as well.
Yeah, and... But funnily enough, they continued to play against teams in the north after the Government of Ireland Act in 1920. They would still have been going in and out. And a lot of Derry teams too, soccer teams would have come out to Inishowen and played in local summer cups as well by the middle of the 20s. They were played in cup competitions there that had been organised. But... really, I suppose if you were to look at soccer structure in Donegal, it doesn't really take on league structure. I mean, the first proper soccer league isn't, permanently organised until 1971. So the GAA is, after its foundation in 1919, it's better organised, and they're able to use a parish structure as well, I suppose. And what they do is they organise championship matches and league matches, and this gives young people, the challenge and the prospect of competitive sport every weekend for most of the year, rather than just playing friendly matches and soccer, which was what most soccer clubs have been doing at that stage.
And tell me, just going back to the pre-codified games and it was common, not hurling as we know it, but yeah, a form of hurling. You mentioned it coming to Bord. They were playing it long before even the GAA was founded. Was it played in any other parts of the county, do you find?
Yeah, they would have played this form of cross-country hurling. I suppose it was different to the common. It was more of a ground hurling game as far as I know. But they played cross-country hurling, like across ditches and rivers and, over a wide area, maybe, 4 or 5 miles long. And it was played in 19th century. It was played in Fulcair on Christmas Day. They would have had a tradition of a game there after a drop of poaching had been taken. Like some old man from the locality would have thrown in the nag, as they called it at that time. And the object would be to take the nag from one area to the other, to keep it in your own townland. It's sort of like what they were doing in other areas, like in England, where they had the Kirkwall ball game, where townlands would have played each other trying to get possession of the ball and take it to a certain point, maybe 4 or 5 miles apart. You also had it in Ashburn recently. There it was in the press about Shrove Tuesday games as well, traditional games being you know, commemorated. But these games would gradually have died out in Donegal in the late 19th century. I suppose one of the reasons was that they didn't have anybody to show them the rules of hurling, whereas Bort had the St. Patrick's Club to kind of instruct them on how the game should be played. But a lot of areas like Ardrad was played in Ardrad as well, and along the coast. But they just didn't have anybody coming along to teach them the new rules of hurling. I suppose it just the game just kind of died away.
Was there camogie played at that time? Or
I didn't find that much evidence for camogie in the 19th century. But I think there was a county board from camogie founded in 1934. But it obviously it didn't take on. I suppose it was probably difficult to organise, and I'd imagine that camogie would be a hard game to play unless you learned it as a child, I suppose the same as hurling. Like, I mean, if you try to learn it as an adult, I presume you'd need to be learning it from when you were young. So, I mean, there was attempts to set up, you know, proper structures for hurling in the 1920s in Donegal, but there was, you know, you had Gardaí coming in as well and playing it in areas like Ballyshannon and Letterkenny, but it wasn't really strong enough. It was Gaelic football which won out, really, which was better organised, and there was more attention given to Gaelic football as well.
You mentioned there where obviously the J was first founded, the first county board was in 1905, and it was kind of, it had a checkered history, had it, because it had to be reborn again in 1919. What happened? How long did it last the first time?
The first time it only lasted for about two years. Now, one of the reasons for this was hurling was the form of hurling they played at that time. They still continued to play this version of Camogie, which had a different scoring system to the game that was that had been codified and written up by Maurice Davin. But I suppose really there was a lot of organisational difficulties, and one of the problems they had was that the key organiser, Seamus McManus, who was he was one of the leading figures in the Gaelic revival in Donegal in the early 20th century. He had been the one who'd organised the county board, and he was a good writer, and he was able to have this press campaign to get things set up. And he'd organised the county board in late 1905. But by 1907, he'd taken up a lecturing position in the United States of America. And I mean, the GAA in Donegal there had lost its key figure. I mean, if you compare that with Kerry, you see T.F. O'Sullivan was one of the leading propagandists of Gaelic games in the early 1900s, and he was instrumental in the county board there at the time, but I think he later moved to Dublin, but his place was taken by, I think it was Austin Stack, shortly after that. And in Donegal, there was just nobody to replace McManus. You also had problems, they had an East and West county board. The West one was based around Donegal town and Mount Charles, where McManus was based, and then you had the east one up around Letterkenny. But the two boards, there's evidence in the newspapers at the time that these two boards weren't working together, and that the problems cooperating. And it wasn't
a county board, a governing body as such.
There wasn't one overall county board. There was just this east and west divisional sort of. They called themselves a county board, but there was a lot of differences between them, and they weren't able to kind of. You know, there was problems, like they tried to play the matches with the winners of each area meeting in the final, but, you know, the problems in different areas with the length of time played between matches was one problem found they had in terms of their organisation. Also, they had problems getting the 17 players. In some cases, teams could only field 13 players, and I think they brought in a rule that they would drop it down to 13 a side. But I suppose really the transport network.
This was football or hurling, was it?
Both. They had a league for hurling, and they had a league for Gaelic football in 1905-07 period. But
and would be money taking hurling, part that time.
I think I counted 1905. There was 29 GAA clubs in Donegal, and they probably would have didn't. A lot of them would have kind of. Died out by about 1907. Again, once McManus goes, the whole thing just seems to.
And where, what areas were these clubs in? Like,
well, there was teams like mainly a lot of it seemed to be in the southwest. You had teams in Mount Charles and Donegal Town. A lot of them were given kind of political names, like the Baljargs in Donegal Town, the Lavjargs in Mount Charles. Some of them were set up from branches of Common the Gael, which was a sort of a political movement at the time that kind of was interested in you know,
the national cause.
Yes, and they would have, McManus would have been interested in that as well. He would have been heavily involved in that. He was an IRB suspect at the time. And so they would have given themselves these Irish names, kind of like a linkage to the
Like, was there teams in Kittybegs, Ardrah, Ardentes?
Not really as prominent in Kittybegs. Soccer was the main sport in Kittybegs. You had Kittybegs Emeralds. They won the Evans Cup for soccer in 1906. And you had a soccer team in Ardrah as well. But some of these soccer teams refused to switch to Gaelic football.
Mm-hmm. And who have been the men? Obviously, Inish Owen was at Bort in the east, and
Bort Hibernians won the Cammon Trophy, the Bishop's Cammon Trophy. It was the patron of the county board that time was Bishop Patrick O'Donnell. At that time, he was a bishop in the county, and he sponsored the cup, which Bort Hibernians won in 1906, and. Soccer was kind of continued to be the most popular game. Gaelic football struggled to make any real inroads. The main team, I suppose, the main Gaelic football team at that time would have been Baljargs and Donegal Town in the west. But I mean, it's hard to find records of county finals and things like that because sometimes they just didn't write them down.
Yeah, and then it was revived or reborn in 1919. Who would have been behind that?
1919, I suppose it was part of a kind of general revival throughout Ulster. Owen O'Duffy, who later became Garda Commissioner, he was kind of involved in seeing that you know, county boards got established in Donegal. You had Dr. McGinley and Larry Kenny, he was involved in it. You had Joe Sweeney, who'd been involved in 1916 Rising, and he was involved in the army at that time. He would have been...
He was from Burtonport, isn't he?
Yes, that's right, yeah. They would have been prominent in its initial organisation. But their involvement sort of died away as the 1920s wore on. You also had, I think it was Sam O'Flaherty from Castlefin. He was one of the leading members in it. But their involvement sort of died away. In the 1920s, the leading man in it was Sean Casty from Ardrah. He was a national school teacher, and really took over the organisation of it, and the organisation of the county board in 1920s really became centred really in the southwest of the county, and most of the meetings would have been held in that area, and I suppose Inish Owen became sort of isolated from it at that stage. You also had a man called Sean Cunnan from Glenties, who was heavily involved along with Casty, and the two of them seemed to work very well together, and they were national school teachers as well, and a lot of those who took up positions in the county board in the 1920s would have been involved as national school teachers, and they had good experience of paperwork, and they also had a bit more free time than other workers would have had, and they also had good, you know, organisational skills too, so that helped.
And how many clubs would have been affiliated in the early, say, 1920s?
I think the figures were low enough. Like some clubs were slow to get organised. You might only had it maybe 1919, and probably was only about, you know, maybe less than a dozen teams in Donegal. I think it was Bundoran that won the first county championship in 1920. St Patrick's of Bundoran. Now these clubs in the 20s had a lot of problems in terms of getting grounds organised, transport. You also had the War of Independence and the Civil War, although it wasn't as severe in Donegal as it was in other counties. Emigration was a big problem too in the middle of the 20s. You see in the local papers at the time, you know, clubs losing players going abroad. But I suppose another problem too was that the Donegal County Board didn't have that much money, and they just, you know, when the Dr. Maguire Cup was set up, they relied on funding to get that. They put an ad into the paper looking for sponsorship, and they had people send in subscriptions, so that was how they had to do it in those days. And this kind of compared to other counties like Cavan, where I think Cavan were able to spend, you know, a lot more money on building places like Breffni Park, whereas Donegal didn't even have a county ground for, you know, a lot of that period. They struggled to get grounds and they struggled to get people interested in the games. And it was a tough, slow struggle for them in the 1920s to get Gaelic football up and running.
Because obviously soccer was so strong.
Yeah, I suppose soccer was mainly, at that stage, it was an Inishowen, really, where they had summer cups and they had teams coming in from Derry. Soccer remained really the strongest sport in that area. But just in general, just the I suppose the whole prosperity of the county as well, wouldn't have been that wealthy a county. I mean, if you look at places in Britain where sport really, you know, the heartland of the sporting revolution in Britain in the late 19th century, if you were to go back to that, you'd say it's the sort of northwest area of England, would say around Preston and Darwin, Manchester, Liverpool. Those areas would have been, you know, big in the Industrial Revolution, and there would have been that wealth and society and that capital there, and they had businessmen investing in these sports clubs as well, and they had, you know, good train systems, networks, and they also had, you know, the population there to go to these matches as well, whereas in Donegal it was, you know, the Industrial Revolution didn't really happen to a certain extent, and you
we're still waiting for it to happen.
Yeah, you didn't have, you know, you wouldn't have 40,000 going to a game every weekend, and you wouldn't have big businessmen investing as shareholders in a club. And so if the capital's not there in society, I suppose it's harder for sport to take on a professional structure, or, you know, become more attractive to local populations.
Tato, I guess the listening Clark coming, Luke Clasky and Lashachtan Ashall. I meet Tom Comack, and my special guest tonight is Dr. Conor Curran from Ardra. And of course, he's a historian and noted writer and award winning writer. And his latest publication is The Development of Sport in Donegal, 1880 to 1935. And it's a follow on from his first publication, which was The Development of Gaelic Games in Donegal from 1884 to 1934. So, and obviously, because it's the GA programme, we're concentrating a lot on the Gaelic Games. But we'll talk to Dr. Conor about other games as well. But in terms, sticking with the Gaelic theme, in terms of county teams, as in county representative teams, Conor, when do we first see them?
I think really that there was, if you were to go back far enough in the 1890s, there was a couple of teams, a couple of selections that you would say they were Donegal selections. They weren't actually county teams, but you had teams up in Inishowen amalgamating to play against Derry in the early 1890s at Christmas tournaments. But you wouldn't,
in Gaelic games.
Yeah, in Gaelic games, but you wouldn't really call them a county team as such. There was a Donegal, I suppose one of the problems was that it was just the organisational difficulties in the county that meant that by about 1905, Donegal, it was an example, 1906, I'll give you, Donegal had were due to play in the Ulster Championship, and they couldn't actually get enough players. They couldn't, like, they'd most of the players at that time were playing Cammon or this hurling game, and they couldn't actually get enough Gaelic footballers for their match in the 1906 Ulster Championship. I think it was against Derry, and they were heavily beaten that day. But they sent a kind of a thing around the clubs, you know, looking for players, but they didn't have enough Gaelic footballers as such that time to kind of make up a good team. So it really wasn't until the 1920s that Donegal started getting involved in the Ulster Championship on a regular basis, and they actually dropped to junior level in 1933, and they reached the All Ireland Junior Final. But you know,
yeah, that's the first team I think to play at Croke Park.
Yeah, but they struggled for a long time to you know, challenge the likes of Cavan and these other counties that had a strong tradition of Gaelic football, a stronger tradition than Donegal probably. Like Cavan is a classic example of, you know, they had a lot of success in the Ulster Championship by the 1930s, where in contrast, Donegal didn't win their first Ulster title till 1972.
Yeah.
So,
and what was the evidence, or what evidence did you find that maybe hampered the development of hurling? Seeing that it had a foothold before football?
One of the problems like they would have had was that the rules that were drawn up by Maurice Davin in 1885 for hurling, they more resembled the Southern game of Oman, which meant that this would have been the game that the Munster teams would be more familiar with playing, Whereas in Donegal, they'd been playing a kind of a different kind of a game called Common. And in a lot of places in Donegal, you just didn't have anybody coming in to show them the new rules of hurling. And the game just dies away. And it continues into the Common game continues into the, we'd say it's about 1906 or so. They're still playing matches in it. But, you know, you have examples too of where Bert attempts to continue on with the, like they continue to use this sort of Common stick that they had up until the 1950s, I think. But generally, I think they struggle to get it implemented in schools as well, and a lack of equipment too, I suppose. And I suppose hurling's the kind of game that you'd need to be shown how to play it at a young age, and they just didn't have enough instructors in it in Donegal to show them this. Kind of lacks that kind of cultural space to kind of get the attention of maybe those interested in playing in soccer and Gaelic football, and those two team games would have been most prominent by the 1930s, we'll say.
Yeah, and obviously a great rivalry between the two as well.
Yeah, there was would have been a lot of rivalry between Gaelic football and soccer, and you see that in the local press at the time. There's a lot of condemnation in some newspapers about the playing of soccer, and I mean, some newspapers like the Donegal Democrat at the time, there was, you know, they didn't really publicise soccer that much, they didn't really give it that much time, and I would say it was probably, you know, deliberate on the part of the editors to, you know, foster the Gaelic games and the nationalism at that time. But, you know, that's not to say that the
soccer wasn't as organised either. They didn't have them as many games, did they?
No, it was kind of more sporadic. But I suppose you had the ban as well, and on GA players playing soccer. But I mean, you had vigilance committees going around as well, going to matches where they would try and monitor to see which GA players were there or playing soccer, and it worked to some extent. But I mean, the ban wasn't that thoroughly implemented. It was a hard thing to monitor, and sometimes there was a case of Bob Black, who's Donegal goalkeeper, and he'd attended a soccer match in Enniskillen in the 1920s, and he'd been banned. Under the rules of the ban, he should have been banned from playing Gaelic football for Donegal, but they went on and they let him play in a match against Cavan. And I suppose in some cases they were willing to give players the benefit of the doubt if they were good.
And did you find much evidence of that, of the vigilantes? Or
yeah, there would have been
these were guys going around spying, in other words.
Yeah, they would have went around and you know, monitored who was playing in different games and so on. There would have been committees set up, yes, but I mean, what I found from looking at the minutes and the County Archives in Lifford, was the GA archives there, that they weren't that well organised. The chairman couldn't, you know, he didn't have a regular panel of people going around to do this. But I suppose it was a hard thing to implement, and getting people, giving them time to do that as well and going around. But certainly there was ban. I mean, Letterkenny was a club that suffered a lot from players that were banned towards the end of the 20s. I mean, there was constant notes in the paper about players going off to play soccer and cricket as well, and condemnations of them. And some clubs just took it more seriously than others, and did actually ban their players, and then others just couldn't afford to lose players, so they just let it, turn the blind eye to what had happened.
Well, that's all a very fascinating insight in a short space of time into the development of sport. The development of sport in Donegal, 1880 to 1935, by Dr. Conor Curran. It's on sale, is it, in bookshops? Where can people get it?
Yeah, I think it's on sale in Easton's and in the Four Masters bookshop in Donegal Town, and Hodges and Fidges in Dublin, and it's available online on Amazon as well, and Cork University Press website as well.
That's it for another GA programme. My thanks to my special guest, Dr. Conor Curran, and to Jimmy Stafford on sound. And just to remind you once again, that publication by Dr. Conor Curran is The Development of Sport in Donegal between 1880 and 1935, and is available in all good bookshops. Good GA and Shocked on the Hoggan, and from me, Tom Cormack, Slán agus Bannagh.